No, no, 23. Yesterday was 23. Huh? Thank you, Prabhupada. Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Banachari. Yamuna Tira Banachari. Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Banachari. Yamuna Tira Banachari.
जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी कुंज बिहारी हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा राम राम हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा राम राम हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा हरे राम 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 हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Ram Ram Hare Hare Jayo Radha Vallabha Radha Vallabha Shri Radhe Jayo Prabhupada, 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 Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada. Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Nittai Gaura. Hari Bol Nittai Gaura Hari Bol
Srila Prabhupada ki jai Jai Om Vishnupada Paramahamsa Parivrajakacharya Ashtottara Shata Shri Srimad His Divine Grace A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki jai Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai Nitai Gaur Premanande All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees all glories to assembled devotees all glories to Shishi Guru and Gauranga All glories to His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada ki jai Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tatho Jayamudhirayet Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavatiruttamashloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya cha Nanda Gopakumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha Hare Krishna, welcome all of you for today's discussion of Srimad Bhagavatam. We are reading from Canto 6, Chapter 17, titled as Mother Parvati Curses Chitraketu. And we are reading from verse number 24. Atah prasadaye natvam Shapa mokshaya bhamini Yanmanyase hi asaduktam Mama tat kshamayatam sati Atah prasadaye natvam Shapa mokshaya bhamini Yanmanyase hi asaduktam
मम तत्क्षमयतां सति अतः प्रसादयेन त्वाम् शापमोक्षाय भामिनी यन्मन्यसे हि असादुक्तम् मम तत्क्षमयतां सति अतः प्रसादयेन त्वम् यन्मनसे हि असादुक्तम् अथा प्रसादयेन त्वम् शापमोक्षाय भामिनी यन्मन्यसे Matazis. Atha prasadayena tvam shapa mokshaya bhamini yanmanyasehi asadhuktam mama tatkshamayatam sati अथ प्रसादयेन त्वाम् मम तत्क्षमयतां सति अथ देफोर् प्रसादये आई एम ट्राइंग टू प्लीज न नॉट Tvam, you, shapa mokshaya, for being released from your curse, bhamini, O most angry one, yat, which, manyase, you consider, he, indeed, asad uktam, improper speech, mama, my, Tat, that, kshamyatam, let it be executed. Sati, O most chaste one. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. O Mother, you are now unnecessarily angry. But since all my happiness and distress are destined by my past activities, I do not plead to be excused or relieved from your curse. Although what I have said is not wrong, please let whatever you think is wrong be pardoned. Purport. Being fully aware of how the results of one's karma accrue by the laws of nature, Chitraketu did not want to be released from Parvati's curse. Nonetheless, he wanted to satisfy her because although his verdict was natural, she was displeased with him. As a matter of course, Maharaja Chitraketu begged pardon from Parvati. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakhaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahiyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnava vamscha shri rupam sagrajatam sahagana raghunatanvitam tam sajivam sadvaitam savadhutam parijana sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakham Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namos Tute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Ram Ram Hare Hare Yam Pravrajantam Anupetam Anupeta Krityam Dvaipayana Viraha Katara Ajuhava Putreti Tanmayataya Taravobhinedu Stham Sarvabhuta Hridayam Munimanatosmi
Hare Krishna. So it's a very interesting episode that is happening, very interesting chapter that is happening. And we are hearing from such exalted personalities, Chaitanya Charan Prabhu speaking on these verses, which is so nice. So, what has happened just now is Chitraketu has been cursed by Mother Parvati for something that he did not even expect, actually, because he was not insulting to Lord Shiva, but still this happened to him. What is very interesting that comes out in this section of Srimad Bhagavatam is karma, how it comes, because right now what he's saying, he's not asking an excuse to Parvati Devi, because he's not done anything wrong. So that's why if you see Prabhupada writes it very nicely. Although what I have said is not wrong, please let whatever you think is wrong be pardoned. You see, he's not saying pardon me. He's saying I've not done anything wrong, but because you think I have done something wrong, please pardon me. So he's very clear. He's very clear. He's not shaken by the curse. But he's also saying he's not holding Mother Parvati responsible for the curse. You see, this is one very interesting nature of a devotee. Prabhupada writes this. Being fully aware of how the results of one's karma accrue by the laws of nature. Krishna, in the Bhagavad Gita, 4th chapter, Krishna says, Karmano hi api bodhavyam, bodhavyam cha vikarmanaha, akarmanascha bodhavyam, gahana karmano gatihi. The happenings of karma is very difficult and complex, because generally, we know something bad happens to us, we try to find a reason, you know. I came back from Vrindavan a week ago and then I fell sick. For a week I was literally bedridden. So my mind was going back and forth to say, what did I catch and where did I catch? Must be in the flight. Must be in Singapore. Or must be here. Or must be in Vrindavan. Must be the mosquitoes which came into the room and bit me. You see, I was trying to find out a reason of why I became sick. See, generally this is the nature of human tendency. They try to find a cause, which is not wrong, because this type of searching will not happen in an animal kingdom, because animals will not find out why did I not get food today. Animals will not think like that, you know. They don't find a cause. But finding a cause is an innate nature of a human existence. We want to find a cause of
Most of the time we find the cause of bad things only. We don't try to find why good things are happening to me. So they try to find the cause of bad things, just as I was searching for why I became sick. In this case, Chitraketu is not trying to find the cause of his curse, because what he received from Mother Parvati was quite drastic. Because he didn't receive a small curse. He's been cursed to become a demon, actually. So that surprisingly, what's interesting is, if you just rewind a little bit back, he's just now recovered from his child's loss, and then he's been preached by Narada Muni, and after that, he's met the Lord. He's met the Lord face to face, he's seen the Lord, he's witnessed the Lord face to face, and then he's almost in a liberated state because he's met the Lord. And what else does someone expect, you see? And then he's been very happy, and then all of a sudden the curse comes out of Mother Parvati's mouth, you see. Very quickly his fortune has turned, very quickly. Generally, if we put ourselves in his position, what to talk of coming to the temple and taking the darshan? He has taken the darshan of the Lord, you see. So generally there will be an air of superiority, that now mera to life ho gaya. I've been delivered already now. I've seen the Lord. Nothing else is remaining in my life anymore. So I'm in one sense jivan mukta. I'm liberated even in this material body, you see. We will not even expect that something like this can happen, you see. So in one sense his karma was finished, in one sense, because he's seen the Lord. And yet Prabhupada writes that he was cursed by Mother Parvati and he did not hesitate. This shows a lot of lessons come upon from the sections of Bhagavatam, because Bhagavatam is such a literature that it doesn't hesitate to tell us the truth. It is not just those type of fables, you see, where he finally met God and then he became the most powerful ruler ever after. And nobody was there to destroy him. And he ruled the heavens for eternity. You know, nothing like that happens in Bhagavatam, you see. Bhagavatam time and again opens the stark reminder of one thing. What is that one thing? What is that one thing Bhagavatam opens us? Always. Huh? Bhakti Yoga. What else? Sorry? Never forget him, okay? It also reminds us of another stark reality. Yes, the reality of this material existence. It opens up the stark, dangerous reality we live in, which is called as dualism, which is called as duality. Because this world is full of dualities, always full of dualities. And when happiness will come, when distress will come, nobody can say. Nobody can say. Even the greatest devotee here, Chitraketu, who has just now seen the Lord, he is going through this duality now. Right now he was just very happy in his aeroplane, and all he did was an innocent laughter to his friend Lord Shiva. What happened? Shiva and wife was sitting on the lap. This lab business also is very dangerous. Lab business is very dangerous. All mishaps happened because of the lap only. Even Hiranyakashipu got killed on the lap of Narsingadev. So, one of the Prabhujis called Sudama Prabhu, he says, this is laptop business. Dhruva Muni was cursed because of the lap, you see. He didn't get a place on his lap. Pandava's revenge, the Kauravas, because of the lap of Karna and Duryodhana. So, this business of the lap is very dangerous. So in this case, Lord Shiva is putting his wife here. And then, of course, Chitraketu did not insult Lord Shiva, but in a very friendly gesture, because they both were friends, they both were equals. But what happened? Very quickly, it seemed as if Mother Parvati was disturbed by his laughter. Although she owns this material world, she runs this material world, she's perfect in one sense, and yet she commits mistakes. Therefore, there is only one person who does not commit mistakes. Who is that? Krishna. That's why he's called as? What's his name? Huh? Yes, Achyuta. Chyuta means to make mistakes. Achyuta means one who will never make mistakes. So only Krishna, only God is perfect. Rest, everybody is imperfect, including Lord Shiva and Lord Goddess Parvati. Everybody is imperfect to a certain degree. Of course, we can't compare Mother Parvati to a mundane lady, but she's a very exalted personality. And yet, sometimes she also becomes the instrument of cursing the greatest devotees of the Lord. In this case, it was Chitraketu. But because of this curse, one very interesting thing happened. What was that? Krishna showed that my devotees, name bhakta pranashyati, my devotees do not get bewildered. In whatever trying circumstances they are put in, they never get bewildered. In fact, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, gneyah sanitya sanyasi yona dveshti na kankshati, nirdvandvo hi mahabaho sukam bandhat pramuchyate. My devotee or a devotee who is gneyaha and he's a nitya sannyasi. Nitya sannyasi means what? He's always, Hare Krishna, please come. Please come in. He's always in a renounced state. Sannyasi doesn't mean only wearing an orange robe. Sannyasi means one who is always renounced in thought, word and deed. So he's always renounced and he is nadveshti na kankshati. You know what is kankshati? What is kankshati? Huh? Icha, akanksha we say, right? To desire something. So, in this material world, let us understand two things. What is misery? What is misery? How do you define misery?
Lack of something.
Lack of something, okay. Good.
Suffering.
Suffering, okay.
Absence of happiness.
Good. Anyone else? One last answer. What is misery? Actually, misery means unfulfilled desires. Everybody has a desire, to whatever desire they have. And if the desire does not get fulfilled, they become miserable. It's as simple as that. Misery means something that does not happen to what I expected it to happen. Therefore, I'm miserable. That's it. And the misery can be to a varying degree. It could be less miserable. Some people might desire something and you don't get what they want, but they might not be so miserable. To the extent some people want something and they get so miserable because they did not get what they want. You see, they really get miserable. I know one of the complaints of the lockdown period from my colleagues was they were not having hands-on to a good coffee from their house because the shops were closed and they were not getting access to the machines that they used to have coffee from the city. So therefore they were very sad and lot of, lot of my colleagues bought coffee machines. They bought coffee machines and they tried so many coffee machines and yet they were not happy. They have spent thousands of dollars on the coffee machines. They said, no, best coffee is from the person who makes, because they hear they have to make it. Even the coffee machine makes it, but still they have to put the beans and they are very lazy to do that too. So they're saying, my barista used to make my coffee and I'm just missing it. And they go into depression because of that, you see. So desires don't get fulfilled, they become miserable. So much so, if they don't even get a cup of coffee, they become miserable. So in this material existence, if our desires don't get fulfilled, we get miserable. In this sense. So here, it seems, who was miserable here? In this episode? Mother Parvati was miserable. Why? Why was she miserable? Lord Shiva? I only heard the last two lines. Offended, yeah. Because she thought Chitraketu offended Lord Shiva. See, what was happening, there was a Ishtagoshti happening in Lord Shiva's kingdom. Lord Shiva was preaching to his disciples. So there was a Bhakti Vriksha class happening, actually. But in that Bhakti Vriksha class, the wife of Lord Shiva was sitting on the lap. And then the preaching was continuing. Of course, Shiva is very detached. What we see is not what it is, actually. But Chitraketu said, I know you are very elevated and very liberated, but at least for the people of common man, for a common man, you need to maintain certain etiquettes. So in that sense, Chitraketu was suggesting something to Lord Shiva, because of which Mother Parvati thought, there are so many senior sannyasis and saints sitting in the assembly, when they did not have a problem, how come you had a problem about my husband? And my husband is so glorious. So therefore she was expecting what? Puja, pratishtha, prashansa, Three P's, very dangerous. Puja means worship. My husband is worshipable. Pratishtha and prashansa, fame and appreciation of my husband. My husband is always glorified. Somebody talks ill of my husband, I cannot take it. And Parvati Devi became miserable because of that. How dare Chitraketu, a mere mortal, can talk such a thing about my glorious husband? And she cursed. She cursed Chitraketu. So therefore she became miserable. That is why Bhagavatam does not hesitate to speak these truths actually. In the second verse itself, Bhagavatam clearly, very, very clearly mentions, Dharma Projita Kaita Vatra Paramo Nirmatsaranam Satam Vedyam Vastava Matra Vastu Shivadam Tapatrayon Mulanam. Dharma Projita Kaitava means this Bhagavatam rejects all materially motivated religion. You see, kids of this age, they write essays, is it not? And they write something called as narrative essays or fictional stories, you know. In fiction also there is difficulties. What is it called as? Tightening tension, they say in your essays, you see. You have to tighten your tension. So Chitraketu, every time Chitraketu wins, you know, it's not so interesting. So they make it very interesting. So Bhagavatam is not like your fictional tale where they're trying to make the story very interesting. It's not like that. It just opens up the fact of this material world, the reality of this material world. And it doesn't hesitate that even the greatest personalities can be cursed and they can actually fall down in this material world. But at the same time, Krishna doesn't abandon them. So these are the lessons that come out in this. If you remember, we had studied a few months ago about how Bhagavatam preaches like the Vedas and the Itihasas. It preaches like Vedaha Puranam Kavyam Cha Prabhur Mitram Priya Evacha Bodhayantiti Iti Prabhos Trivid Bhagavatam Punaha. Jiva Goswami mentions this in the Tattva Sandharva that Bhagavatam preaches to us in all ways. It preaches to us like Vedas, it gives us authority, it also preaches like instruction, like a friend, Mitram, and it also preaches like a lover, like a friend, Priya Evacha. So here, Bhagavatam is giving us a stark reminder like the Vedas to say, in this material world, anything can happen at any point in time. And this is not the only story that Bhagavatam mentions about reversals, you see. Can you tell me a few more examples of reversals that we see in Srimad Bhagavatam? Even in the first canto? Whose story do we read of a very great reversal, something happened to a great devotee of the Lord? Beginning of Bhagavatam starts like that actually. Narada Muni? Think again. Yeah. Kunti? Kunti also is mentioned. Parikshit Maharaj, is it not? If you see, Parikshit Maharaj just got cursed by a young boy, Sringi. 8-year-old boy curses such a big emperor. And for what? For nothing. And if you think about it, it seemed as if Parikshit Maharaj could not withstand the thirst. But that same personality could stay without food and water for 7 days and 7 nights. How is that possible? So definitely he had the strength to withstand hunger and thirst. But what happened there was, it was as if the workings of destiny and nature, that he became thirsty and put a dead snake around Sringi's father. You see? So it was as if the play of destiny, and then Sringi just cursed Parikshit Maharaj. And what did Parikshit Maharaj do? He did not take out his commandal and say, how dare this guy curses me, I'll curse him back. He didn't say that. He just accepted the curse as an order of the Lord. And this is what is amazing about devotees. Devotees are always very compassionate, are always very forgiving. They always see everything as an award from the Lord. They do not see anything in this material world that is against the happenings of the Lord. In fact, a few devotees of Vedavyasa approached Vedavyasa and he said, my dear Lord, Kali Yuga is fast approaching. What do we do? They're so helpless. They're so helpless to say Kali Yuga is like a dark cloud. It's encompassing the whole material world. So how do we save the living entities? Vedavyasa laughs. He says, there is nothing in this material world that is inauspicious. There is nothing that has happened in this material world which is inauspicious. There is nothing in this material world that will happen that is inauspicious. Everything is happening by the will of the Lord. So therefore, everything is perfect. See, this is the Veda Vyasa says this. Everything is perfect. So what is different then? What was the difference between the disciples of Veda Vyasa and Veda Vyasa? Yes. True, but what was the difference? Correct. The perspective. The way you see things. Veda Vyasa was seeing things non-different from Krishna's desire. Because nothing can move. Even leaves do not move without Krishna's desire. What to talk of Kali? So everything is happening because of the will of the Lord. But of course, the sages were also right because they were not afraid because of them, but they were afraid for the general living entities because they seem to be lost in material quagmire, material inebrieties, you see. So therefore, they're worried for these people. They're worried for the common man. Parikshit Maharaj was an example. In fact, there are so many, there is a famous verse, shloka, which is ordained in the Vedic parlance to chant. I don't know if you've heard of it. It is called Ahalya Draupadi Kunti Tara Mandodari Statha Panchakanyasmare Nityam Mahapataka Nashanam. Have you heard of this verse? There are five ladies who is to be remembered every day. Who are they? Ahalya, Draupadi, Kunti, Tara, Mandodari. These five, every day one has to remember. Why? Because they are glorious women. We all know who is Ahalya. Ahalya Devi, we know. We know who is Draupadi. If you really see in the entire Mahabharata, the amount of pain that any lady has gone through in this material universe, you can't compare it to Draupadi. Five husbands she had, and right in front of the five husbands, she was stripped. She was thrown out. She was called names. She was insulted. Right in front of the five husbands, and they couldn't do anything. Right in front of the father-in-law, like Dhritarashtra was there, Bhishma Pitama was there. Nothing. Nobody came to her help. She was so helpless. Kunti Devi, being a queen, she was just running around like a beggar, you see, with her five sons. So much pain they have gone through, and yet, time and again, they don't complain that why you're doing this to my Krishna. In fact, Kunti Devi is the entire opposite. So probably there is any devotee in the entire history of devotees who is praying for misery. She is the only person whom the Bhagavat or whom the entire scripture knows who is praying for misery. Nobody prays for misery actually. But it is only Kunti Devi who is the only devotee who prays for misery. Vipada stu shantu tashashwat. So she continuously prays for misery. Why? Because if misery comes, I can remember you, Krishna. It seems as if because I was miserable, I was always able to remember you. So therefore, let you always give me miseries so I can always remember you. So we have shlokas like this to help us remember. We know Mandodari also. Mandodari is a great devotee of the Lord. Although wife of Ravana. She's a wife of Ravana, yet we have to remember her. Can you even believe that? Who is Tara? Wife of Vali. Wife of Vali. Very glorious personalities these are. And therefore it is, they say, even Panchakanya Smarenityam Mahapataka Nashanam. Great calamities can be avoided just by remembering these five kanyas. So that is the status that the acharyas, the scriptures give. In fact, there are so many other examples. We have Gajendra being cursed to become an elephant. We have King Indradumna being cursed as a crocodile, you see. And yet they never complained. They never complained. They saw this as a special mercy of the Lord. You also see the example of Avanti Brahmana. How many of you know the story of Avanti Brahmana? In the 11th canto. Avanti Brahmana was a very rich Brahmana, but then because of his past pious credits got burnt out, he became a sannyasi. He became a renounced sannyasi. And and he started living like a sannyasi actually. Even though he was living like a sannyasi, there were people making fun of him. So much so that when he sat down for accepting his arms, people used to urinate in his foot. Can you even believe the atrocities that he's gone through? And then he says, these people, my karma, time, they are all not responsible for my misery. Who is that? Avanti Brahmana is saying, these people are not responsible for my misery. Actually, it is my own mind which is responsible for my misery. You see? So that is what the perspective of an Avanti Brahmana is. Do you want to come in? Yeah, it is. So, Krishna, time and time again in the Bhagavad Gita also, he reminds, Matra Sparshastu Kaunteya Shitoshna Sukha Dukkha Daha Agama Apayino Nityas Tam Stitikshasva Bharata. So this quality, Titikshava, is what? Tolerance. Krishna says, Krishna never gives a guarantee that bad things will not happen to good people or reversals will not happen to devotees. He doesn't promise that. Krishna doesn't say that. Krishna says, Titikshavaha. Matra Sparshastu Kaunteya Shita and Ushna. Heat and cold will always happen in this material world. But what is the quality Krishna is asking his devotees to develop? It is Titikshava. It is Titiksha, means to become tolerant. To become tolerant to all of these dualities of the material world. Why? Because if Krishna only gives good things to his devotees, then his devotees will never become strong. This is the way Krishna makes them strong, makes his devotees strong. You see, if you have students in a class, if you want your students to become strong in mathematics, you have to give them tougher questions. It's not that you give them simpler questions. So you give them tougher and tougher questions so they become stronger in mathematics. You see? So this is the thing of material world. The more tougher the situation is, the more stronger the competition becomes, and the more stronger the competitor happens. You know, there's a saying, when the things get tough, the tough gets going. You see, have you heard of that? When it becomes tough, the tough gets going. So we become tough. Tough in the sense, not hard-hearted, but what it means is titikshava. Titikshava karunikaha suhrida sarvadehinam ajata shatrava shantaha sadhava sadhubhushanaha. This titikshava, this nature of tolerance and compassion is an abhushan, is a wealth of a devotee, is an ornament of a devotee. It is also displayed by Krishna. Krishna also displays this. In fact, you see, Krishna also had to go through many reversals. What was that one reversal Krishna had to go through? Gandhari's curse, yeah, okay. That's also right. Anything else? Tulsi? Yeah, Tulsi also cursed Krishna. That is also good. Shishupal. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he was being imprisoned. There's another have you heard of the Kaustubha Mani? The jewel? They said Krishna stole it, but he didn't steal it. But still, he was blamed falsely, and Krishna had to fight that blame. He did not say, "How dare you? I am the Supreme Lord, and you are trying to blame me." He didn't say that. He had to go and fight Jambavan. You see, so therefore, even Krishna demonstrates by his own example that reversals, you have to face reversals in this material world. So this is one of the important lessons that we try to learn in this example. In fact, I'll tell a small story and then I'll stop here. There was a Brahmana, an Avadhuta Brahmana in Udupi. I don't know, I think I've said this story, but it's interesting to this, relevant to this episode. This particular Brahmana was an Avadhuta. Do you know what you mean by Avadhuta? Avadhuta means who is very indifferent to this material world. Very indifferent, you know. Sometimes you will see this indifference in the homeless people also. They are very indifferent. They are always lost in their own thoughts. But they are not suhurdam sarvadehinam. You see? They are only bothered about their bodies. But avadhutas are not like that. They are suhurdam sarvadehinam. They are indifferent, but at the same time, very compassionate to the other living entities. They are never angry on anything, even though they are punished. So this Brahmana, one day, if you go to Udupi, There are two dining halls. One dining hall is for samohik, where general people sit there, and there's another dining hall in the first floor where only brahmanas can sit. So this brahmana just went and sat in the top floor dining hall. For whatever reason, he sat, and he was sitting there, and the cook started serving prasadam. And generally in the brahmana section, you don't sit using stitch clothes. So you have to sit using chadar and dhoti. So he didn't even have a chadar. He looked like a very poor brahmana. So he was sitting there and waiting for the prasadam to be served on the plates. And then somebody noticed that he doesn't have a sacred thread. You know, so they asked him, "Where is your sacred thread?" He said, "Sacred thread?" And he just noticed, "What sacred thread?" he asked. Then at that point, the guy who was serving became very angry, because your identification, you're a brahmana, means you need to have that sacred thread. Whether you have titikshava karunika, doesn't matter. You need to have that 2 paisa sacred thread. So he said, "What thread? I don't have any thread." Then he said, "This is only for brahmanas. Get up. Go away. Go to the different dining hall." "This is only for brahmanas?" he asked again. "Yes. You're not a brahmana. I don't see the sacred thread on you." Now he said, "Brahmana I am, but sacred thread I don't have." He said, now he became even more furious. This guy is arguing with me now that he is brahmana but he doesn't have a sacred thread. Oh, what does he mean? And then he calls a few cooks and he says, "We need to drive him away. He's just creating inauspiciousness among the brahmanas. Look at him, he's dirty, he doesn't have a sacred." So all these expletives started coming out now. So they started shouting at him. They said, "Now we are warning you, just get up and get out of this dining hall. We don't want to become physical with you. We are all brahmanas. We are all very compassionate living entities for others. Suhurdam se sarva dehinam. Please get up and get lost from here." And he said, "I came here for prasadam. This is prasadam hall only, right?" They said, "Yes, but you are not supposed to eat here. Get up and get lost." Then he said, he's avaduta, he's indifferent. He said, "Why I have to get up? You serve me prasadam, I'll have prasadam and then go." At this, their tolerance limit reached. They just picked him up and threw him out of the temple. Not of the hall, but they took him out and threw him out of the temple, out of the temple compound. Now, as soon as this happened, the brahmana, if we were there in the place of the brahmana, what would have been our reaction? Immediately would have taken our kamandalu or our Tupperware plastic bottles. We would have cursed to say, "How dare you push a brahmana?" And then, "May you rot in hell." You see, we would have cursed the people, you see. This brahmana fell down and he was old. He was not a young person. He just fell down and then there was another person who knew this brahmana. So he came and he saw, "Oh my God, what happened?" And then he lifted him up and he said, "What happened? Why did he throw you like this?" He said, all he said was, "I don't know why they threw me. I was hungry, but they said I cannot eat. Maybe the Lord does not want me to eat." And he just dusted his clothes and simply walked away from the temple. Now, this behavior is quite amazing. And the person looking at this old man, this person was a brahmana, of course, so he saw and he could identify that this here is a real brahmana. Here is a titikshava karunikaha suhrdam sarva dehinam. So this brahmana did not think that these people who threw me out were the reason for me to come out. It was the Lord who did not want me to have prasadam. So he was seeing the Lord even in his rejection. So this is a story which was an actual happening. I didn't make this up. This actually happened to a person in Udupi. And we have such glorious personalities even here in ISKCON. We are so blessed to have such Vaishnavas here in ISKCON, actually. I have seen certain Vaishnavas being argued with on the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. And I have seen certain saints in ISKCON. They didn't get disturbed. They were trying to convince him. And if they don't get convinced, they were on their own. They were not disturbed by the slightest provocation of these people outside. So we are very gifted to have some such saints around us as well, who are full of compassion, who do not get disturbed because of these material incongruities. So I'll stop here. I'll summarize and stop to say these sections of Srimad Bhagavatam are a great lesson for us. Although it is very difficult for us. For us, probably it's not the curses that might happen, but it is the challenges that the material world will throw us. You know, it could be health, it could be wealth, it could be any material challenges that the material world will throw at us. And the first thing we get to do is get disturbed by that situation. But that disturbance shows our immaturity in Krishna consciousness. How immature we are, or how grounded we are in Krishna consciousness. The more grounded we are, the more mature is our Krishna. It's a yardstick by which we can measure our own Krishna consciousness. A little bit of change, a little change in our material circumstances, we become disturbed to a large extent. That shows we are not even Krishna conscious to a little tiny extent. But if we do not shake, our Krishna consciousness does not shake, even though we go through very ghastly and gory difficulties, then we know that we are actually in tune with Krishna. Riteritam pratiyeta na pratiyeta chatmani. Tadvidyad atmano mayam yathabhaso yathatamaha. When we come to the position to see that this material world is also an orchestration of the Supreme Lord, and when one does not get disturbed, we see saints in... Kadam Kana Maharaj is right now in Vrindavan. What he's going through in his life is quite amazing. And when we see him, when I saw him a couple of weeks ago, his face is even more glowing. He's even more delightful to look at. So these are the examples of devotees who do not get shaken because of material circumstances. So we should. So these lessons in Bhagavatam help us to pave a way to say, when will that day come when we can be on this platform, when no material incongruities can shake us, but we always stay grounded at Krishna. You know, we always stay grounded and focused on the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. And we always take shelter of Guru and Gauranga, and we don't get disturbed by these material incongruities, which will always happen. The waves of material universe will always, you know, sometimes upar, sometimes niche, sometimes up, sometimes down, is always a part of this material world. So with this, we can pray to Guru and Gauranga in this auspicious month of Damodar that we go deep in our Krishna consciousness so that we do not swim at the surface of the ocean where the waves are always disturbing. But the sharks swim deep down in the ocean where there are no waves. So may we swim deep in the ocean of bhakti so that we do not get carried away by the waves of this material existence. So with this, I stop here. Thank you everyone for lending a very eager ear and helping me to realize certain facts of this episode of Chitraketu. If there are any questions or comments or realizations, if somebody wants to share something, we can have it for a few minutes. Yes, Prabhuji.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Chitraketu Maharaj, we see Prabhupada writes, and that he took it as if this is a reaction of my past deeds. It's a law of karma. But we see, in case of pure devotees like him, Lord ordains such things to happen in their life. How about devotees in the beginning stage, Kanishtha devotees, for example? They are there chanting and practicing sadhana. Things happen in their life. It is ordained by Lord, or it's a mix of both, or just karma? And then I have a next question leading to that after you answer this one.
Okay, not that I know the answer for, but I'll try to. I'll attempt to, Prabhuji. Actually, everything is ordained by the Supreme Lord only. Whether it is karma acting on me or the Lord's intervention in my life directly, it's always the Supreme Lord. Because there is nothing that can happen without the Lord's sanction in one sense. But what is missing in the case of a neophyte is the shelter aspect. Because as devotees progress in Krishna consciousness, when material energy hits them, they become even more surrendered to Krishna because they are mature in their practice of Krishna consciousness. But for a neophyte, he gets, it's a shaky boat. You see, the boat starts shaking. So therefore, The only missing fact that happens for a neophyte devotee is that he doesn't have a strong ground to stand on when certain challenges happen to him in the beginning stages of Krishna consciousness. But if his intention is pure, and if he's walking towards the right direction, and he's in the association of the devotees, Krishna, although gives him challenges, because he's already started his journey of Krishna consciousness. So therefore, he's already under Krishna's shelter in one sense. He's under Srila Prabhupada's shelter in one sense. So therefore, the Sangha, the association of the devotees will protect him, will pull him out of that difficulty in no time, actually. So that's one hope we have for neophyte devotees. And we see this in our own practice. In our own congregation, we have had devotees who had to go through very severe traumatic experiences in their very beginning stages of Krishna consciousness. I remember one devotee he had just joined Bhakti Vriksha and he was diagnosed with blood cancer. And all his family said was, "You got blood cancer because you became a devotee." That's what they said. And he said, So be it. If this is what Krishna wants me, that's fine. But 6-7 years down the line, now he's blood cancer free, he's cancer free, and he's a very strong practitioner. But it doesn't happen happy ending always, you see. But tests happen, but the satsanga, the association of the devotees, saves us from such challenging circumstances. But it is unsettling when such things happen to neophyte. Why only neophyte? Even for advanced devotees, when this happens, it's very unsettling. But it's only the association of the devotees that actually saves us at that point in time. Because it takes a lot to be always in connection with the Lord. Like pure devotee like Srila Prabhupada, he's in connection with Krishna at all time, place and circumstances. But for devotees like us who is not in contact with Krishna directly, for us, the only sahara or shelter is the devotees around us, and we take complete shelter of the devotees, which is non-different from the shelter of Krishna. This is my understanding, Prabhuji.
So, as I understood, is it correct to say that for non-devotees, they are just left with law of karma?
For devotees, it is
under purview of Lord Krishna.
Yes.
although they are getting those karma, but it is under
correct.
The purview of Lord Krishna.
For non-devotees, the only thing they take shelter of is the mind. Manorathena dhavati. See, in this material world, maximum to what is the shelter they can take? They can take shelter of matter. If something is going wrong, either they'll go to their insurance companies, or they'll go take the shelter of doctors, or at the max, the mind. By psychology, by counseling. That's all. Counseling is one level where psychiatric counseling is given, and they are only taking the shelter of the mind to kind of adjust to this situation. It's just a mental adjustment. But that is not a complete solution in itself, because we are neither the mind, we are neither the intelligence, we are neither this body. So for a non-devotee or a person who is not into spiritual practice, for him the maximum shelter he can take is the mind. But then the mind itself is such a tottering platform. So they will never find relief from such shelter, actually. They might find relief to a certain extent, but they will never find a permanent shelter because mind also is material. So for a materialist, it's very difficult when he goes through tough times. That's why we find maximum times when a materialist goes through a tough situation, what do? They become addicts. They become drug addicts, they become alcoholics, or they become criminals. You see, why? Because they are disturbed. They have taken the shelter of the mind, and the mind just tells them to do whatever obnoxious things that they can do. So that is what the materialist does. That's one thing. There is another danger also of so-called people who are spiritualists, who take the shelter of scriptures, but they end up becoming monists. Because they think this material world is dualist in nature. So therefore, if I think it's me and you, there is a problem. So I will never say there is me and you. Everything is one. So I am God. So finally, it's again a mental platform only to say, actually I am God, everything is my leela. So the monists or Mayavadis end up like that. So to remove duality, they will think they are God. They think they are on an absolute platform, which they are not. So therefore, there's so many dangers of this material world which we cannot escape. And the only shelter is Sanchintayet Bhagavatascharanaravindam, to take the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. Until we come to the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, there is absolutely no shelter in this material world, actually.
Thank you, Prabhuji.
It's my understanding, Prabhuji.
And the other question was about Karmavad, that people talk about, you know, work is the thing you get to do. Achieve your dreams, work hard, everything is achieved. All this karma and law of karma and all these things are just, you know, nonsense. So, what do you say to them?
So these are called as materialists. Work is worship, people, isn't it?
Work is worship, work is religion.
They don't believe in law of karma and just work and you will get everything you want. Yeah.
But what suppose his boss does not give him salary? The boss says, I believe in karma too. If you're working hard, you should be getting money by the arrangement of karma. So I will not give you my paycheck. From tomorrow, no paycheck. So these are the people again on a mental, tottering mental platform, because they do not want to accept any authority. And these are the people whom everything is going very hunky-dory in their lives. So still then they won't complain, because as long as there is money in the bank and they have health in their youth, in their body, they don't care. Because everything is going very nicely. So therefore, I am the master of all I survey. So therefore, they won't believe in karma. They won't believe anything that is going wrong. But the day when something goes wrong, then they will realize, why is God interfering in my life? God has no business to interfere in my life. But He's interfering in my life. I was so happy. You see? So like that. So these are people who are on a mental platform. So for them, all we can do is pray so that they can wake up to the harsh reality, which they will, eventually they will. Material world will not spare anyone, actually. It will not spare anyone. We know the greatest of the personalities, of the famous, the rich and the famous, had to bow down to this material nature. So one day or the other, they will have to wake up, Prabhuji.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Thank you. Yes, Saviour.
Of when Krishna was blamed for stealing the Kausava money. Prabhupada says in the purport that if a devotee is blamed, then they should stand up for their own reputation. And that's what we see what Krishna did. He stood up for himself. But in this pastime, we see Chitraketu Maharaj, he accepts the curse. He doesn't like stand up for himself.
Yeah.
And even in Parikshit Maharaj's case. So how can we understand this?
In fact, you see, the translation, he is not agreeing to his wrongdoing. Chitraketu did not say, I did a mistake. He is telling clearly to Parvati Devi, it is you who thought that I did something wrong. So if you think that I've done something wrong, please pardon me. And the reason that happened in this case, at least, was Parvati Devi is a very exalted personality. The one thing Chitraketu was not happy about was that somehow Mother Parvati was sad or was disturbed, although he was not the cause, but he was in one sense the cause of her misery. She was not happy about certain things. So therefore he did not stand up to that curse to say, okay, I have to contend the curse, and because for some reason I have displeased you for some reason, so therefore please pardon me. So Chitraketu takes a very humbler stance in this case. Why? Because devotees at different time, place and circumstances exhibit different opulences. And one of the opulences is to actually forgive. Forgiveness is a very great opulence, actually. And in this case, Parikshit Maharaj and Chitraketu is displaying this particular opulence, forgiveness. Because in the 11th canto, Krishna says, actually, see, the reason is, the moment I contend, I have to do something. But if I'm already satisfied with my existence, No, it doesn't matter whether I'm born as a demon. It doesn't matter if I'm born in hell. Because I'm always titapragya. I'm always established in consciousness with Krishna. So it doesn't matter in one sense. So therefore it is not content. So his consciousness did not change. Even though he was cursed, he went down and took the form of Ritrasura. His consciousness never changed. So therefore he did not find it necessary to contradict Mother Parvati. And same is the case with Parikshit Maharaj. He thought, maybe this is the arrangement of the Lord, so I will take it. But in certain cases, you will see that they did stand for their stance, and they like Hanuman, you see. Hanuman did not take it. He said, I will fight. So there are cases where a devotee stood against inequalities, but there are certain cases where the devotee forgives to say, okay, I'm happy to take it as a Lord's ordinance. And why certain cases and what instances one should fight and what one should forget, that depends on case-to-case basis. There's a very nice blog Chaitanya Charan Prabhu has written, When to Forget and When to Forgive. Just Google it, you'll find it. This is a very nice blog Prabhu has written. Thank you. Yes, Prabhuji.
The first, Chitakeru Maharaj says, you are now unnecessarily angry. And then he says, okay, this is because of my past karma. Then again he says, what I have said is not wrong. Please let me know what you think is wrong. So it's like a bit of contrast in his consciousness, or maybe what he's trying to say in this one. Because he's trying to put, like, you are angry first, and then he says it's because of me, and then again says what you think wrong. So how, like, practically, like, devotees should take in like when it comes in a real life scenario, like,
so in this case mainly Chitraketu is not holding Mother Parvati as the reason for that curse, because the devotees, this is one example of forgiveness. So what is forgiveness? Forgiveness means I don't hold a grudge on you. I don't say that you are responsible for my happening. I'm suffering because of you. So if you still I'm suffering because of you, but anyways I'll forgive you. That's not forgiveness. Yeah. You know what I mean? Exactly.
I think something is like that. Right?
Yeah, but no, Chitraketu is clearly saying you have unnecessarily become angry. And but since I know that the curse that you have given me is not because you are responsible for it, but because of my past activities, so therefore I'm not asking pardon me, because I am giving the blame on my own karma. So I'm being responsible for the curse that you gave me. You have cursed me, but I'm responsible for that curse. But I still say that it was unnecessary, and you thought that I was being unreasonable towards your husband. You thought. Because he's also, in one sense, explaining his situation that I in no means insulted your husband. Because if he did say that, sorry, I insulted your husband, that means he's agreeing that he insulted his husband, right? So therefore, he's very clear in his stance to say, no, I did not unnecessarily, you are being unreasonably angry on me, but I still take your curse because it's my own doing. So it's a... I forgive you, but at the same time I accept that your curse, I still accept your curse. So it's like that. So it's a very interesting predicament of Chitraketu. And the way that's why you see Bhagavatam is another literature which tells you the culture. In this culture, the fine art of speech also is coming out. That he is not just saying, oh, sorry, I didn't make a mistake, but you curse me. And it's not like that. It's a very mature communication that is happening. And Bhagavatam also is, it also gives you a glimpse of that superior culture. And you'll see this in the beginning canto also, when Arjuna returns and Yudhishthira Maharaj is asking questions to Arjuna. He does not directly ask, what is that inauspicious thing? He goes around the bush, he beats around the bush to say, I heard certain inauspicious signs, I heard there were tears in the bulls and the cows, I heard that. So finally, can you please tell me what happened? You see, so there's a fine art of speech also, which is practically lost in today's communication. But here we see that Chitraketu is putting forth his... How he's putting his point forward to Mother Parvati. That's my observation, Prabhuji.
Does it answer you?
Sort of. But like, I'm lit. For me, it's like little. With my limited knowledge, it's become like, it's because we have seen in past, like when Parikshit Maharaj was cursed, he didn't question back. Yeah. Or we have seen like in when Amrish Maharaj, they didn't question back. Here, yeah. It's like little bit of. Not questioning, but putting one's point forward.
Yeah, but in that case, Parikshit Maharaj was not in front of Sringi.
Yeah.
See, he just heard the curse that he has been cursed. But in this case, because these two are very exalted personalities, so therefore, Chitraketu also is setting an example of how a devotee also is taking a lower stance to ask excuse, to say, if inadvertently, if I've committed a mistake, which you think I have, please forgive me. So therefore he is demonstrating by example, not justifying that I was right.
Yeah.
So he doesn't do that. He doesn't do that I was right. Okay, Wilson. Yes, Madhuri.
Thank you for that. What are the names of the
five ladies? Ahalya, Draupadi, Kunti, Tara and Mandodari. Mandodari. Thank you, Mataji. Thank you, Prabhuji. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande, Hari Hari. Shri Shri Radha Damodar ki jai, Shri Shri Radha Vallabh ki jai.